Sabor y Salud Podcast.
Taking out all the things that are white and making them brown. Yeah. Doesn't that sound beautiful?
I sensed a lot of cultural incompetency with therapists.
Like meteors like coming out of your booty hole?
Yeah.
I'm gonna figure this out, okay? I stuck on the lata, the can right there, jackfruit. Yeah. It's gonna work out, okay?
Welcome back to Sabor y Salud. My name is Belin Mojarro. I'm your host. And we're really excited to be back on episode 6. We made it! We are actually gonna be offering this episode in 2 parts. So you're gonna get 1 part this week and another part in 2 weeks. So be on the lookout for that. I hope you all are thriving and surviving and healing, and we want to continue to hear from you. Message us on our Instagram, shoot us an email, join our newsletter that we'll be sending out some fun things soon in the future. But yeah, let's jump into this episode 6. We got to interview the amazing Dr. Elena Esparza. She is the founder of Just Breathe Healing, a wellness practice. She is a chiropractor and an all-around just healing diosa that works with nutrition and hierbas, flowers, and all of Mother Earth's gifts. I'm actually one of her patients. She also has worked with my family members and continues to work with some of my family members. So she's real special to me and my family, and I'm just so excited for you to hear everything she's going to talk about in this episode. She's going to share a little bit more about Just Breathe Healing, her practice located in Boyle Heights, California. She's going to talk about her approach to wellness and that how when she approaches a patient, her first step is to just hear her patient's story, which she explains is kind of a rarity when working with doctors. She'll talk about the Levolution and how she encourages us all to join her. And then finally, she's going to talk about pain and how our bodies are continuously communicating with us and how she uses applied kinesiology to communicate with her patients' bodies. So we love Dr. Elena. She's so beautiful and has so much wisdom to share. And I'm so excited for you to hear more from her. Hi, Dr. Elena.
Hi.
Thanks for agreeing to be on our podcast.
You're welcome. This is exciting.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful to see you, but also to have this kind of conversation. I really like that.
Yeah. So let's jump right in. Can you describe your practice?
So I've been practicing for 19 years now. And my practice is a family-based practice. So we work from toddlers, newborns, you know, right? A few days being born to all the way to the grandmas and grandpas and pre-death even. We've had a couple of patients that we've got to help move through passing. So it's been really a rich, rich 19 years. But our basic primary practice is a nutritional wellness practice.
So when you say wellness, what are the like specific practices within that you use? Because I know you use a couple different methods, right?
I've used applied kinesiology, which is people normally say muscle testing. So I do a lot of work using the body's own response system to find out where they are. Where is their baseline? How do I know where to start?
Mm-hmm. I remember when I first had a visit with you, an appointment with you. I was so confused, and I remember I was so tense. I didn't know what was going on, and I was like, how does she know what's happening, like what my body's saying, by just like tapping my arm and asking my body questions. I was like, is she actually talking to my body right now?
Yes, so, the answer is yes.
Yes, please speak on the muscle testing a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, so applied kinesiology is the term for what you would call muscle testing. And what it is, it's challenging a regularly strong muscle using your body as the indicator or the voice of what is going on internally. And Dr. George Goodhart is the first to coin the term applied kinesiology. And he, along with some other colleagues, developed this further, and I feel like he was divinely guided, because to explain how muscle testing works is, you know, way over my education and but the idea is this, is that your body has a response and reaction mechanism. It responds to all kinds of indicators and influences. And when you test it and challenge it, it will give you an immediate response. And when you learn the language of that, you get to be really clear about what's going on. So a normally strong muscle, when I challenge it with a question, it'll either remain strong when it feels 100%, putting all its energy into that. It's 100%. It's like saying, yes, I support that 100%. This is about who I am. But when it goes contrary to your being, whatever, whether it's your health, well-being, your mental state, your spiritual energy, I mean, each person has their own path. If it's a part of who you, if it's not a part of who you are and it's not 100%, your body will not put energy into it and your muscle will go weak and it'll show up as like a weak arm that was a moment ago perfectly strong. Mm. That's the simplest way I can explain it. Mm-hmm. And you're making responses all the time, whether you know it or not. So when I speak or when you're with your friends or you're about to choose what food to buy at the grocery store, your body is actually giving you a response. It's either filling up with energy or it's like retracting its energy. And when you can feel it, you'll get your yes and no about anything. You know, do I go to this movie? Do I spend time with my friends? Do I just rest? Shall I drink 3 cups of water or just 1? Your body will always give you a response. And I like Dr. Goodhart and Dr. Diamond, who developed this further, believe that your body doesn't lie. Mm. It won't lie about this. It's the one place where no matter what your brain or your mind might conjure up, your body will not lie to you. That's why it's the most important friend that you have on this journey. And it is the one you have to listen to. Where I, you know, with all my schooling and all my experience, have great ideas, but it may not be necessarily the right thing for you. Hmm. And so what I've learned through applied kinesiology is that I can apply my own experience and knowledge and test it against your being. And if your being is feels that this is right for you, you'll let me know. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to, that's what I trust. And that's what how I work. I work listening to you and then following through with what I get. Mm-hmm. So that's what was going on with you.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Can you just break down how exactly this looks like to our listeners? Like when you test, like how do you actually test? I don't want to explain it because you do it, but I've experienced it, but I'd love for you to kind of, so we can visualize what happens.
True. Yes. So when somebody's muscle testing, the tester, which would be me, mm-hmm. would be touching or using some part of your body. In your case, I used your arm. Mm-hmm. So I had you hold up your arm straight and I would put pressure against it and you would resist. You would meet my pressure with the same amount of pressure I would. So if your arm was straight forward in front of you, I would press down mm-hmm. and you would try to maintain that angle of holding mm-hmm. it up. And then once I felt the strength of your arm and you were testable, because you also have to be testable, then I would proceed to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And I would, if I asked a question like, do you drink enough water? And I put pressure on your arm and your arm fell down against my pressure and against your greatest effort. Mm-hmm. That would be an indication of, nope, mm-hmm. not 100% here. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And if it remained strong, your body would be, it's as if the body's response was, yes, 100%.
Mm. And do you only ask yes and no questions?
I do only ask yes and no questions.
Because it can only respond in that.
I don't think that it can only respond to just yes or no questions, but it's so simple and easy and it saves time. So what happens as the practitioner is you get really good at asking questions and you get really good at observing and feeling and being guided by the body in the direction that it needs to go. Mm. And it's simple. I mean, it's just so simple. A child can do it and the kids love it. They love to know that their body feels like magic.
Yeah. It did feel like magic.
And my body is speaking even when I don't know the answer. Yeah. It feels wonderful and they get it. Like they really get it. When I teach kids how to do this for themselves, they start to use it everywhere. And it's really fun for them. And I want that. That's the goal, that you learn how to listen to your own body as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Everybody needs to tell their story. And often you don't get that. You can go to a doctor and you'll tell them what your symptoms are, but they don't ever work beyond that. It's very rare where a doctor sits down and says, tell me more about that. And even like, what is your home life like? How is work? How about your relationships? Because all of those play into a person's wellness.
Right.
And so the first thing, of course, is listening to the story and giving the person a time to speak. I just read an article about the patient interview. And it was a study done by some really smart college kids. And what they noticed was that when a patient was interviewed by a doctor, they didn't get past 10 seconds. 10 seconds was the most they got to say before they were interrupted by the doctor. Because
sounds about right.
They would interrupt and then start to decide what was going on with the patient without really hearing the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that I learned through chiropractic school, is that the patient story is the most important. So giving time for that. So I do spend a lot of time with my patients, more than most. And so listening to the story, finding out what the foundation and baseline, where do they live, how is their lifestyle, because your story and your lifestyle is what got you to this place. And if we don't ask those questions, you won't make the connection.
Right.
Most people, when they come in, they think something's wrong with their body. It's really scary. You take care of it. And that's the other part of wellness, is that I am not responsible for your healing. I can't care more about you than you do about yourself. So your job and my role as a practitioner is to guide you back to yourself, basically teach you what your body is about. Why is it working this way? And number one, don't be afraid. You know, your body has all kinds of voices. You have all kinds of voices in your head. Well, they reverberate into your body. And if you can understand that language, you can actually find the path to how to get out of your little labyrinth of misery. Do you know what I'm saying? So, you know, part of what I do is teach you how to go back inside, find out what your body is saying, show you what it feels like when your body says those things, and then see what needs to be cleaned up. And then fix it, you know, guide you to fix it. But then you have to go home and do the work. And that's that's the hardest part, you know. So once we listen to the story, find out what the baseline is, teach you some languaging skills about yourself, not to be afraid, then guiding you on your way back into your world. And letting you know that you're not alone. The part of the process is knowing that you're not alone in your healing, and you never have to be alone. And many people wait till the last minute because they're so afraid to say what's wrong with them. As if, you know, we're supposed to be infallible and, you know, we're human. We're going to eat poorly or worry too much or hold emotions more than we need to. And those things are going to have an effect on our health. And if we don't know that, we're going to think something's wrong with us alone in the world. And that's just impossible. And it's not true. And there's always, when you pull out the map and you can see where you are and where you want to go, there's a way to get there. And it's nice to know that you don't have to do it alone. So the wellness program is about learning how to use the map of your body, use the skills that you have, use the recommendations that are given to you to find your way through, and then do the work. Follow the map. Find your way. And when you have trouble, call like a little magic phone, you know, doctor, this happened or this didn't happen, or I felt, because you need that. Most people who come don't have a clue about what their body does and what it's about. Simple things.
Those little things that come up a lot with your patients that folks don't understand about their body, is there one that like is reoccurring that you hear a lot?
Well, there's a lot of little things. And like I said, everybody's different. But in general, there's this whole idea that pain is bad. that pain is bad. Well, there's a lot of belief that anything that doesn't feel good is bad. So the whole idea that there's something bad about your body, that right there needs to stop. I truly believe that your body should be number one on your list of who's important. And if we, like I said, the language of your body is really important, like the language with your kids or even with your pets or your coworkers.
Or your plants.
Yeah. You know, there is a language. I mean, you don't speak cat to a dog. That you don't speak dog to a cat because a cat doesn't care. Do you know what I'm saying? So, but we, when our body is giving us pain or a headache or a stomach ache, we immediately think, I'm number one, I must have cancer. I'm going to die. I mean, I could understand the fear of death. Can you make yourself sicker than you really need to be? Absolutely. So understanding that language doesn't necessarily mean, the language of pain doesn't necessarily mean it's the worst case scenario. I mean, how many times have we exploded with the people we love and it really wasn't that bad. Later we're like,
too many times to count.
You know how I screamed at you? I really wasn't mad at you.
Right.
You just happened to be right in front of me. Well, the body's the same way. It's not saying I hate you, cut me off. It's saying, please pay attention to me.
Right.
So general number one, the biggest little thing is do not be afraid of what your body is feeling. Understand what it's trying to say to you. That's probably number one. Number two is believing that the opposite is also true. Pain is okay. So some people will come in and they're like, I'm completely fine. I'm fine. You know, I don't know why I have to be here. Where one is pain is scary. The other one is I don't recognize pain, which means I get the person way after when the pain is beyond bearable.
When it's normalized.
Or what they think is not normal because they've endured so much pain before. So ignoring pain as if it's supposed to be every day. Well, you know, you're getting old. You're supposed to feel this. Not true. The alarm system was the first time you started to hurt. It's like a little kid saying, mama, 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 okay, okay. And we say to our body, okay, okay, that's not, whatever. Just a headache or just a stomach ache. And the little kid's inside is like, mama, mama, okay, okay, yeah, give me a moment. You know, and we go on and then it's like, mama, mama, yeah, yeah, wait. You know, as if we can tell our body to wait. And then the body's like, boom, you know, I can't get up or my, like you said, my back hurts. You know, I can't get off of the floor. Or I'm, you know, I fainted. That's like the kid saying, mama. You know, it's like, listen to the first one before it gets to, you know, I'm going to the ER. I was in the ER, doctor. What can I do now? Right. It's so important that you listen to your body like your child. Your child's asking for your attention.
You were speaking of that, like, made me think of doctors and healers in a different way. You said that it like, it's our responsibility also as the patient to, like, it's a conversation, right? I feel like, let me contextualize this a little bit. I feel like in Latinx culture, especially, the doctor scene is like two ways. The doctor is like glorified, like it's gospel what they say and how they treat.
Yes.
And that, like, we just purge all our problems on the doctor has to magically, like, fix it for us, right? Which in Western medicine, I feel like a lot ends up being like in pills and prescriptions or things like that. Or there's a lot of distrust with doctors and we fear going to them because they're just going to tell me something's wrong with me. So I feel like there's those two extremes. And something that I heard you speak about is, like, I guide you, but you have to meet me halfway. Like, we have to have a conversation about it, which to me also is like it's a community engagement rather than, like, I don't know. The power looks differently to me hearing you say that opposed to, like, I'm telling you what to do or I'm this thing to be feared. It's like, no, I have some things to offer, but you have some things to offer and we're going to, like, dialogue about it. Just such a different way for me right now to think about it.
It is definitely a different way. And there, so one of the things I say to my patients when they first come in is I say, you have everything you need to heal within you. You have everything within you to heal right here, right now, already. you know. And if I can just get you to think about that for a little bit, and I'll show you what that means. Because it's like, you know, there's cars around you, but they're in your blind spot. You don't know. You have to actually look in that direction in order to see what's present. Mm. So I know that we're not always aware that we have everything we need, but that's the first step. So yes, going back to your point, is that I am not the healer. I'm the guide. I'm the roadmap. But I am not, I can't do the healing for you. And like I said, I can't care more about you than you care about yourself. I can care enough to listen with compassion and, you know, my training, and then do my best to show you the best way. But it's actually, like you said, it's a little more than 50-50, meeting me halfway. It's more like 70-30.
And I'm giving the 30.
I'm the 30%, you're the 70. Because one, you have to come with your whole life. Mm-hmm. I'm just the guide. I mean, think about it. When you go on a journey, the map is the smallest part of the journey. The map is just the directions. Mm-hmm. You have to actually take the steps.
Walk it, yeah.
When are you going to rest? When are you going to eat? When are you, you know, sometimes you have to stop and you can't go further. That's where I get to come back in, right? So it is definitely a partnership. We work together, but the majority of the work is going to be you and your community. And when you said community, you're right. A person who has to heal alone takes a lot longer, in some cases not successfully. So yeah, it's a whole affair. Whether if you live alone but you have friends, that's your community. If you have a big family, that's your community. If you know, it's like, it's, there is a way to find community to help you heal. I mean, I've had people with cancer who lived alone. I said, you can't do this alone. I'm sure you have allies, best pals, buddies, partners, friends, family. Everybody needs to be on board in this. And that's how it works. And we, I mean, if it takes a village to raise a child, it also takes a village to make sure that everyone in the village is happy and healthy. We do need each other. We need each other.
Yeah.
Healing should not be done alone. Just like living.
Yeah.
Even if you're a crabby old fart that wants to live in a cave, you still have to go in town and get some food every now and then. So you really can't be alone.
Yeah, I've been learning that lesson, I think, deeply over the last like years, really like honing in on my community and not being afraid to also ask for help.
Very good, and
like seeing and recognizing, I mean, this podcast, right? Like recognizing, like, I can't, I have an idea, but I know I can't do this alone.
Right.
So I asked my homegirl and my community and my support, and it, you know, it works out. So I deeply resonate with the idea, and really have been like practicing it, I think, actively in the last like year.
Just been really fun. Right. So the wider the foundation, the stronger you feel on that journey. Right. So as soon as you hook up with the people who support you, your foundation gets as wide as those that you connect with. Isn't that nice? I mean, this is not as steady as that, you know.
Yeah,
I know you're on radio, but the idea of just one tree alone and, you know, many trees together, the idea that they'll fall is less likely, right?
And their roots are all intertwined.
Intertwined. They're really intertwined. That's where all the magic is in the interconnections.
So I read on your website that you are trying to start the Levolution, or support rather a Levolution. That word really stuck out to me. So can you explain what the Levolution is?
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually took that term from another really cool healer. And I just said, I need that. I need that as part of what I do, because I believe that's what I am. And so the Levolution is to fall in love again and again and again, first with yourself and then with all that is, including people, plants, animals, what we create, you know, what we, even those things that we discard, is to have a conscious awareness about how we put energy into those things. And may the foundation of that be love. When we start to really care about ourselves, we really think twice about how we want to treat this temple, this piece of carne that we have to take mm-hmm, with us mm-hmm. through life. And if we want it to last long, we'll put a little more effort into it. I mean, we put so much effort into our face. You know, we're such a top heavy mm-hmm. culture. It's all here. Even Facebook is just about, you know, the
literally appear- Facebook.
It is Facebook. It's yeah. about your face mm-hmm. on, you know, and we give good face. you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. it's all about the outward expression. It's mm-hmm. about appearances. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, if you know, what if we, it was called body book. Mm. Who would we become? We would have to be okay with our whole self. Mm. I mean, we can hide so much behind a face, but the rest of us is neglected. Mm. It, I mean, most people don't live below the neck, mm. including consciously within their own bodies. So my whole thing is be okay with who you are. All of you, even in your sickness, even in your anger, even in your, you know, desperation and your sadness and your depression. It's like all of that is a part of you. Why would you want to cut it out and throw it away? Mm. Or worse, be completely numb to it or ignore it completely. That's we're a very, very absent-minded society mm. where we just let that go. And if not of mind, out of sight. Facebook is such tantalizing fantasy world because you don't have to look beyond that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that to be who we are. I figure you come to this door, you want to know who you are.
Mm. Yeah. And it sometimes, I think, can be painful or like can be uncomfortable. But I think thinking maybe this is along the lines of like what you're saying is like pain isn't necessarily bad. Like the discomfort True. Is also part of like the growth, the growing
Yes.
pains.
Yes.
Because...
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. It's the fear of what that pain might mean, mm. right? Yeah. To look at ourselves outwardly and inwardly, it's painful. Mm-hmm. We have, like I said, we have stories. And those stories are, some of them we don't like to tell. Mm-hmm. And yet they're key to your healing. Mm-hmm. That we think we have to hide them is almost like believing that nobody else could ever understand what you're going through. And I love this idea of this podcast because it's, you keep showing, you can show up anywhere and say a story and somebody somewhere, not here, can say, I get that. That's me. Mm-hmm. That's my story. Well, the more we tell our stories, the more we feel less alone, more connected, mm. right? And that's the whole idea.
Don't even trip, y'all. We have a whole other episode coming to you from Dr. Elena. I know it got kind of cut off, but trust, there is a lot more to come, and it's so exciting. Let's review over this episode and talk about some of these takeaways. So we got a lot of knowledge drops, right? And I think the most profound one for me was hearing Dr. Elena say that she can't care more about me or her patients than I do or we do about ourselves, right? So like, meaning that yes, doctors and healers are here to support our healing, but ultimately we have to care about our own bodies and that we have to love ourselves more than they love us. And that we really have to put in the work for our own health. And I kind of offered up, so is it like a 50-50 relationship? And she was like, nah, you know, it's not a partnership. You're not in a partnership with your doctor. You are seeking their advice, but ultimately you are your own healer, right? And so that she gave me the percentage of 70-30 and that you got to work out a little bit more, almost more than double of what your doctor or practitioner or healer is doing, right? So we got to own that 70% for our own health. She reminds us that, you know, we already have everything we need within us to heal. And that was just such a beautiful reminder to hear. And she talks about how we need to lean into the love of our community and the folks that uplift us and want to see us grow. And she also shares that, you know, the more we tell our stories, the more that we feel less alone. That communicating and sharing about our experiences, our health, our identities is really powerful. And that it's healing for us, maybe, and ultimately can be healing for each other. So there's a lot of these messages. I feel like we've been hearing from a lot of different healers, but you know, certain things sit in different ways when you hear them from multiple people. So I'm so excited that we're going to have another episode of this. So you get to hear more from the beautiful, wise Dr. Elena. So please check out episode 6, part 2, coming your way in a couple weeks. Don't worry, y'all. It's going to get real deep.
Sabor y Salud Podcast is a labor of love, brought to you by me, your host, Belin Mojarro, and my talented homegirl, nature traveler, and co-producer extraordinaire, Stephanie Aguilar. The information shared on Sabor y Salud Podcast is not intended to replace medical or professional advice or treatment. Please consult your personal healer, doctor, physician, or curandera before trying new health practices.